good. How are you, Nana? Are you in the Christmas spirit yet?
Christmas, what's that? Like, definitely not. I am happy and ready for a new week because last week was a write-off. So let's just hope this week is a better one. How's your week been?
It was okay. I'm just in that. I think the season just makes everything harder. It's cold and I just want to stay in my bed all day.
Yes, I 100% get that. So what did you think of this week's episode?
I liked it. I thought, again, it's the same thing. It's a little bit disjointed, but overall, I did like it. I think they're settling into their groove. I think it was similar to last week's episode.
Yes. I agree with you. So, yes, everyone, this week's episode is called The Man, The Myth, The Viagra. And for any of you who didn't watch, just a quick recap. Carrie and Big, I guess, continue to progress in their relationship. Samantha dates a very old man. And Miranda takes her anger out on everybody this episode. So, so the episode starts off with our favorite couple, Carrie and Big. And they're on a date at an Italian restaurant. And Big introduces Carrie as his girlfriend. And she is completely shocked and says... He's never called her that before. And he says, just typical Big fashion. He goes, sure I have, just not to your face. I find him very irritating, Tane. Like, I know I'm not the only one, but I just feel like it always goes back to your point about him just being condescending and patronizing with her. It's just...
But I mean, I was happy for her because I'm like, oh, I guess it's taking her public and at least not the Chinese restaurant. And then the face when he said your girlfriend, it just broke out. It's like the sun came out behind the clouds. And that's Carrie, the crumbs. Every little nice gesture he does, oh God, he's the best.
Do you know what? I just feel like it seems like these that make me see how good actresses these women are. Because there's so many small moments and I think they just do it so well. Like acting is hard. It's not easy. Yeah. And you're right, the way her face like breaks out into like the biggest smile, you can feel the joy radiating from inside. I was like, hey, good acting, you know?
Yeah,
so she is over the moon, of course. Big goes up to sing and dedicates the song to Carrie. And this just makes me think of what you always say about Big being an old man, because I'm like, this man is like really old, singing this older song to Carrie.
But Chris Noth has a nice smile. I don't know why I really noticed it, but I noticed it when he was, you know, up on stage and just smiling at her. He has a really nice smile.
Okay, say his last name again for me.
Chris Noth.
Okay. I've heard both. That's what I've always wondered.
You told me to say it and I froze, so now I don't know. It's not North because there's no R. So I think it's Chris. Okay, I'm going to look it up after. Chris Noth.
I only asked because I think the way you said it is correct because I think it's the way Americans, like you guys say North, and I think that's how it's supposed to be pronounced, but we've always said North, which I know is wrong, but you know.
You know, I'll check. And have like for next episode.
And I'll practice. So anyway, Carrie says she feels like she's in heaven. And meanwhile, Miranda's also on a date at a comedy club with a divorce architect called Alan Miller, who she apparently met at a grocery store. And while he's up getting drinks for them, his phone goes off. And of course, they're sitting right at the front. So the comedian on stage is a complete asshole. He starts like egging her on to answer the phone. And the whole crowd is going like, pick it up. And Randa picks up the phone. And lo and behold, it's his wife on the phone. Remember I said he was divorced, guys. So clearly this man is not divorced. And what makes it worse is that the entire comedy club thinks it's hilarious. So everyone's laughing at her while Miranda's clearly like shocked and devastated by this. I find that kind of painful to watch, but it is what it is. So
it was. Mm-hmm. It was painful because all I was thinking was seriously, like we've been joking about this, but for real, why do the writers hate Miranda? Because this is not cute. Like, I was just thinking, this is painfully embarrassing. Like, so they don't just go regular embarrassed. They go like, how can we stick the knife in and twist it? And also, Miranda needs eyeliner. They shouldn't put her without eyeliner. Wow.
I love it. So she confronts Alan when he returns to the table and he admits that he's separated, not divorced. And I must be the dummy because I actually believed him until he picks up the phone and goes, oh, hey, baby, or whatever he calls her. I'm like, he's not even separated, is he? Oh, assholes.
All this trick in the book.
I know. So Miranda's understandably upset and she leaves. And the next, well, I don't want to say the next day, the next scene, they're all together at lunch complaining about how men are liars because they are. But anyway, and Charlotte, being Charlotte, claims she knows somebody who knows somebody who left his wife to marry them and now they're happily married. And Miranda counters that it's never happened. And it's an urban relationship myth. And this is kind of the whole theme of the episode about urban relationship myths. And she says it's an unbelievable fairy tale concocted by women to make their love life seem less hopeless. And Samantha agrees with her. And I want to ask you, Tane, do you agree or disagree? Do you know anybody who left their wife for the side chick? And I don't want celebrity, because I feel like we can all think of, like, I don't know, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, etc. But does this shit happen in real life? Do men leave their wives when they promise you that they're going to?
I don't know anyone that has happened to. The closest, and even that was like an anomaly, was basically someone I know who was cheated on. They ended up, well, I guess she wasn't the, I don't know who was the side chick, but he ended up marrying her and they're still married till today. Oh. But that's because, yeah, I think it was just an anomaly, to be honest, because at that point you questioned, well, who was the side chick?
Yeah. In the
beginning or whatever. But I agree with Samantha. Like, it's always, and if you notice, it is true. Anytime you hear it, it's like a friend of a friend. And even if it does happen, it's the anomaly. It's the exception, not the rule.
Thank you. I was about to say, even, I feel like even if both of us had examples, and I don't have an example, I've heard people promise and not deliver. I feel like clearly this doesn't happen that often. So the majority of the time, they're not going to leave their wife for you, no matter what tales they spin. Like, it's just not going to happen. Wake up. So, but hey, I wanted to hear your point. Maybe you need someone. So yeah. Well, so then Miranda then talks about more myths, and she gives the example, like, the guy who just couldn't commit. So the woman ups and leaves him, and then he shows up on her doorstep in the rain with an engagement ring, and they live happily ever after. So her and Samantha are, like, going in. And this whole scene, Charlotte was so irritating to me because she legit looked like she was on the verge of tears. She was crestfallen. And she was so adamant that these things happened. And it reminded me of you, Tay, like, her being a baby. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I found the scene hilarious. I was laughing the entire time. My notes have a whole bunch of LOLs written out there, but it was like, you're right. Charlotte was just like, she was about to cry. She was just like, but no, it does happen. What? Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, this 12-year-old. And then Samantha and Miranda were really just going in. And I realized that they're usually in two camps because Carrie kind of is a Charlotte because she is romantic. She just never takes it personally like Charlotte does.
Yes. Charlotte treats everything like it's life or death. She legit, I was just like, damn, is it that deep? Like, snap out of it. Like, for real.
So yeah, I think...
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was like, I think at some point, I don't know if it was Miranda or Samantha that said, if you Pollyanna out on me, and I just laughed out so loud.
It was Miranda. She was not in a mood for it at all. It's so funny because Samantha asked Charlotte, like, directly, do you know anybody whose relationship has changed magically overnight? And then Charlotte looks so pleased with herself and goes, yes, Carrie and Big.
Touche, baby. Touche. I laughed out loud. I'm like, well, you know what? The girl has a point.
She does. That's the thing. And then she tells us that their relationship is now completely different the second time around. So Miranda asks Carrie how does it, how her relationship has changed. And Carrie kind of, I feel like she kind of not wimps out, but she doesn't give, for me, a concrete enough answer, because she, all she says that it's a feeling. And
Because
Miranda,
she's not even convinced.
she's not what, sorry?
Think she's convinced.
Yes, that's the thing. She says it kind of half-heartedly. And Miranda and Samantha just laugh in her face, which I actually thought was rude as fuck, but I thought that was so rude.
Samantha goes, because you're right, it's rude. But I know I kind of got some pleasure in it, because the reason why, like you said, she wimped out, Carrie, that is because she knows, we've been saying it, that she's going for the crumbs, any crumbs she gets. But she knows deep down something is not sitting right within her. And what was rude about it is just for Samantha to do that laugh. She knows that Carrie is also uncomfortable. So it's just like the timing was not the right timing at all, but it
Yes.
was funny.
Do you know the funny thing is, like, as I've been obviously rewatching Sex and the City, I just get the feeling that Carrie isn't like this in her other relationships. I just feel like Big brings out her insecurities, and because she's not sure of him, it reflects in her actions. Because I don't think Carrie would put up with this from anybody else. It's because she really likes Big and she's not sure of him. Do you get that impression?
Yes, I agree. I
Okay.
agree. Which is makes it all the more puzzling. It's like this man. I mean, I get it. We've all gone through phases where you yourself question, why do I like this man and why am I giving my all to this man? But it's just there's something about Big, but Big makes her question herself. So, and
Yes.
she knows it.
Yep. So, Carrie then asks the question, asks the audience, do modern day singles need modern day myths just to help us through our random and sometimes miserable relationships? Are we willing to believe anything to date? What do you think of that question?
I think it's true. I think
Ooh.
people, okay, I have two part answers. I think, are we willing to believe anything to date? Yes, I think yes. The other one are modern day singles. What was it again? Modern day singles.
Need modern day myths just to help us through our random and sometimes miserable relationships.
So that one, I think no. I mean, times have changed now, because now in this day and age, I think we hear more of the negatives. I
Okay.
don't think we hear more of either. Like, I think even people with the positives want to keep quiet, because I think people are going to say, eh, it's not true. But on the other ones, I believe anything to date. Yes, I think so. We talked about this last episode, where that thing called hope, that's what keeps this whole dysfunctional thing called relationships and dating or whatever going. Because as much as we, it's kind of like childbirth, everyone says the labor is so hard, it's so this, but then when you have the child, you forget about everything. I think we talk so much about dating and everything, yet everybody still dates. Everybody still puts themselves through it, because there's that hope that maybe this one will hit. Because again, I think everybody wants to be with somebody. So I think there's sometimes, if you think about the times where there are different things that have happened, where in hindsight, you're like, how did I fall for this? Because you're willing to believe anything. There's just that hope. Sometimes you may know, like what Carrie's doing, but you push it down under so you don't know. There's a book I'm reading right now. You need to talk to people. We need to talk to more people. And in that book, her boyfriend breaks up with her, saying she has a child, saying that he can't be with someone who has a child, that he just likes his life so much. She starts seeing a therapist, and the therapist is talking about how she had to have known. And she's like, no, I didn't know. Like, how would I have stayed with someone who didn't want to have a child? But then he talks about, think about all the instances where things have happened. And then now you start delving deeper, and she starts talking about how, oh, when his sister was coming with their kids, he tells him to stay in a hotel because he didn't want to deal with it. Or when her kid has a basketball game, he suddenly had something to do. Or when they talk about kids, he avoids the topic. So she kind of knew somewhere deep down, but he just kind of pushed it away. Like, no, he likes kids. There's no way he wouldn't be with me if he doesn't. So that's my roundabout long way of saying, I think we're willing to believe anything today. Yes.
Do you know what? I wasn't sure what my perspective was, even as I asked you that question, but I do think I'm leaning towards agreeing with you. Obviously, it's not going to be the same for every single person, but generally, I do think people ignore so many red flags, myself included. And then when you're doing like a relationship post-mortem, you're just like, how could I have been so dumb? All the signs were there. But obviously, hindsight is 2020, so It's easy to see the signs later, but if you really open your eyes and try to be present and not just be busy yeah. falling in love or falling in like with somebody, you do in like you will see the signs. Yeah, so I think yeah. you're right. Oh, isn't that depressing? Oh my gosh. Oh, sorry, I like depress myself, and it goes from bad to worse, guys, because Samantha is having a cocktail after work. And our guest star this episode, people, is one Donald Trump.
Oof. I forgot about that, but that is true.
Yeah. So he's at the bar that she's also at, and he's talking to an old man. And Trump gets up and leaves. And the old man then goes up to Samantha and says, hits on her, basically, saying, oh, he just promised Trump $150 million investment deal because, you know, he was so distracted by her. But in my head, I'm thinking, you're going to lose your money. But anyway. So he's flirting with her. And then he basically offers to buy her an island. Like, ha-ha, joke. But clearly this man has money. So we learn that his name is Ed and he's single and also seriously rich. And I feel like he's like an older man that he doesn't look like, how do I describe it? I feel like he looks good for his age. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like well put together. So Samantha and Carrie are together in the next scene. And Samantha asks Carrie what her age ceiling is with men. Carrie says 50. Samantha's like, even if he's like got millions and millions and millions, Carrie's like, nah, still 50. So we then find out that Ed is 72. So now let me ask you, I know like you're married now, but did you have an age ceiling? And does money factor into that age ceiling?
I don't think money factored into that. I think I had it. I really sat down and thought about it. I had a ceiling. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know it went up as it got older. Yeah. I think when I was in my 20s, I think the max was 40. Because what I'm thinking of is I want kids and I just don't want like that whole 72 thing. I can't do that.
Okay.
60, I can't do that. So thinking of their age, how old were they? Let's say they were in their mid-30s. Mm-hmm. I carry. And 50 is a stretch. I think 50 would have been it, but 50 is a stretch. I'm not going to lie. So,
do you know what? With me, I actually think I went the opposite. When I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have minded dating somebody. I think I always said my maximum was 12 years older than me. That was my absolute limit.
Why 12?
Pardon?
Why 12?
I don't know.
That's all odd.
I'm an odd person, okay, Tane? yeah, 12, but I've just been honest, it was no more than 12 years. And then the older I got, it shrunk to like 7 years and then 5 years. And now I'm in my 30s. I still don't think I want anybody way older than me because obviously there are lots of factors. When I did enjoy the idea of being with somebody older than me, like quite a bit older than me in my 20s. So now I would say I have an age ceiling. But
yeah,
I don't know. Okay, I'm going to tell, I don't know, I'll expose myself. Whatever, it is what it is. So I was, last year I was talking to somebody. It wasn't anything serious, just like casual dates. Like we went on a couple of dates. It didn't really sort like anything serious. And he told me he was 42. And even that, I was a bit like, okay, fine. That's fine. It just sounds old in my head, but I guess it's not that old. And then we kind of lost touch, and then this year we started talking again, and my birthday was back in October, and we actually started talking again just after my birthday, and he was like, oh, okay, like happy birthday. And I was like, you know what, I don't even know when your birthday is like, when's your birthday? And he's like, oh, it was back in the summer. And I was like, oh, okay, so how old are you now? 43, 44? And he's like, no, like, I don't want to say how old I am. And in my head, I'm like, did this man forget? Like, he told me how old he was. And he was like, no, I feel like I'm getting old. I don't even want to talk about it. And I'm like, just tell me how old you are. And he's like, oh, fine, I just turned 48. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, so you're 2 years away from 50. And secondly, you lied to me. I don't forget certain things. I know you told me you were 42, you know? And then,
yeah,
I don't know, just the fact that, okay, whatever, is only 4 years, I would say 4 or 6 years more. But I'm just like, to me, that's a big difference, because now you're practically 50 in my head, which might as well be 60, which might as well be 70.
But he must have looked good for you to believe that he was 42, oh, yeah, right? Like, he looked good for his age.
He does. Like, he looks after himself, all of that. And why I asked you if money played a factor, because this man is clearly not hurting for money. So even even that, because yeah. I was bitching about it to my friend, and my friend was like, no, give him a chance, he's got money. I'm like, no, that, to me, again, money doesn't make a difference. It clearly did for Samantha. I think that's the only thing that made a difference, to tell the truth, for Samantha. I don't think Samantha would have given Ed the time of day if he wasn't super rich. I think she'd have flirted with him and kept it moving. I don't know if you got that impression.
No, that's true, but that's what I was about to give. I was like, I should give a caveat that just because money is not like a thing for us, I mean, it's a thing for everybody, but in terms of like actually carrying it out, because I feel like a lot of people do say, oh, money, or I want this, or whatever. But when it comes to actually like carrying it out, I don't know how many people are actually true to that. But let me just say, there's a whole group of people who money makes a difference. So yeah, it will count for something. I've just never dated a mega super rich person before. Like, we're talking a millionaire or something. So I don't know what it's like. Maybe my life will be changed and it will matter. But in my ignorant state, like, I'm just like, oh, it doesn't matter. But yes, money does make everything different. It makes people more handsome. It makes people taller. It makes people more tolerable. So yeah, I'm sure it makes a difference. But for me personally, because I've never experienced it, I don't know. Maybe if I had come in contact with it, I would have a different experience. I'm just I don't know.
It's crazy, because as I was watching this episode, I was thinking of one of my earliest memories of Anna Nicole Smith, when she married, what was his name? Oh, thank you. And I was like a child when that was all over the news. And I remember being so blown away. And I was thinking, how? Like, how could she marry like this old man, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, as I get older, I understand why and how she could. I couldn't. It's not my portion. But I get why people do. Because it's an equal exchange. He gets to be with a young woman, just like Ed and Samantha.
Yeah.
And they get access to more finances, freely given, apparently. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't think anything in this world is for free. But hey, that's another issue for another day. So yeah, it's an equal exchange, right?
Yeah. But I think my flip question for you is, would you date younger?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I used to be definitely no. Like, even if somebody was the same age as me, I thought that was way too young. So, but again, with age, now I think I would, but I can't see more than 2 or 3 years younger than me. Definitely no. I think 3 is my, I guess, our basement, if we're talking about ceilings before, 3 years younger is my basement. So, the biggest cooking for Carrie, he's cooking her veal, and they're both smoking all over the food. That was the only thing that was in my mind this whole season, this whole scene. I'm like, oh, you guys are just smoking all over the food. This is so unhygienic and gross. But, and I don't know how you can smoke and cook, because then that's telling me you're not seasoning your food right, because tobacco is going to affect your taste buds. But hey, that's me overthinking it. But okay, let me ask you, it's clearly, it is in this scene, as we'll see later, but veal, I've always said it like it's like a political meat. Do you ever, is that familiar to you or no?
No, okay. It's not. I mean, I know what veal is, but I don't know. What kind of meat is it?
What's my mind gone blank? Isn't it deer? No, deer is venison. Oh my gosh. Think. Veal is a young calf, right? Let me Google so I'm not lying. I think it's an extra, hold on. I think it's like a very, very, very young cow. Yes, veal is the meat of calves. So it's not like an actual cow. So people get upset because you're not giving the cow a chance to like live and grow up. Because I feel like when I first heard of Veil, people kind of like, "Who is Veil?" They whispered it like it was a secret. So I was just wondering. It's just for my own curiosity. But anyway, Big is cooking her veal. And as he's cooking for her, Carrie casually, but we all know it's not casual, that she's probably been working up to this, she tells him that she wants him to get to know her friends better. So we all know that dinner or lunch they had before is getting into her head. And Big is as annoying as ever, like, "Oh, I know all your friends. Charlotte's the brunette, Miranda's," you know, just being Big. But he actually agrees to have dinner with them all, which I was like, okay.
Eventually.
I know, eventually, right?
Sorry, I want to say eventually, because he did that thing, which I feel like he said this more than once, where he's like, "They're your friends, not mine." He said that in a previous episode again, and I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? Why can't he even be nice in his rejection?
Especially as she's outrightly asking you to meet her friends. Like, she's asking you.
With her eyes downcast. With her eyes downcast and being all scared. And I think it's not Big. I don't like Big, but I also don't like the way he makes Carrie feel and be. Like, he just makes her like this little girl, this shrunken thing that is just,
and it's always painful to watch, like that, right? Because we know how confident she can be. So anyway, while they're talking about this, Miranda calls Carrie from a bar and she's like, "Hey, where are you?" And Carrie's like, "Oh, I left the message on your machine. I'm having dinner with Big. Didn't you get it?" No, Miranda didn't get it. So Miranda's very pissed off with Carrie and basically yells at her. She's pissed off about the veal too and yells at her and hangs up.
Did you think Miranda overreacted?
Oh, do I think she overreacted? What? I'm going to give an answer, but I do think I'm biased just because I feel like Miranda was so aggy the whole episode. I feel like it just made everything seem worse to me. But so initially I was like, "Damn, girl, calm down." But when I took a step back, I can understand why she'd be irritated. But I do think she was extra harsh because she was already pissed off. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What do you think? Was she justified?
I think she was absolutely justified. But I'm torn as to how she reacted because I'm looking at it as a cumulative thing. Because I can see myself doing that if it's one, a man that I don't think my friend should be dating, like I think is already bad for her. Two, it's something that my friend does all the time where they always just abandon you and go into. And then three, Carrie's reaction to it was infuriating. I think that would make me even more mad. She wasn't even sorry about it. She was just like, "Oh, I mean, but yeah, he was making me dinner and he was in." Because when you are crying and Big hurts you, who is there to pick up all the pieces? And then now he calls you and you're making it. Like, if she was more apologetic, maybe I would be like, okay, Miranda was, but Carrie was just like very casual about it. So I was just like,
I feel like Carrie would definitely be more apologetic. But she did leave her a message, but clearly with not enough time. And Miranda didn't listen to her. And it's irritating. Who wants to like think you have plans with somebody? You get then you're waiting for them and they don't even show up. But I think Miranda's delivery was harsh. That I don't think has changed.
It was, but, you know, she's allowed. But then my second question is, how important is it for you that your friends like the person that you're dating?
It's important to me. Because I feel like we've had this conversation in one of our earlier episodes that there's always that friend whose partner is always there and nobody's ever happy to see them. I don't want to be that friend. I'm not saying you have to love the person I'm with, but I don't want it to be that you never want to be around them because you just deeply dislike them. Does that make sense? I'm okay with ambivalence.
Yeah.
I'm okay with ambivalence. Obviously, I love it if you guys love him. But if you're ambivalent about him, that's fine for me. What about you?
There was a time in my life when I had a conversation. We had a specific conversation with a friend, and she was saying how it's so important that her friends get along with who she's dating or who she's with. And I'm like, why? It's not important. Like, as long as you like him and he's fine, that's all that matters. They don't need to be involved. Like, you're not dating them and blah, blah, blah. And I can't believe I had that stance, because I think it's absolutely very important. Because if your friends are a staple in your life, and it has to be like a valid reason, not just, I just don't like them or whatever. Like, and I feel like your friends know you and you've been through different experiences. So if they don't like someone, and like if my friends don't like someone I'm dating, and they give me, and I ask and they give me actual reasons, I think it's something for me to
Yes.
listen to. Like, not just like hateful reasons or reasons are just like to ruin your relationship, but actual,
Yes. 100%
valid
agree.
reasons.
That's what I said, ambivalence is fine. Not everyone has to like everyone, but if you don't like them, to me, that has like obviously there has to be a reason you don't like them, you know? It will make me think twice for sure. But I'm also not one of those people that, and on okay, if you're a guy that listens to this, please correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes I feel like guys care more about what their friends think about the person they're dating than women do.
Yeah, I think, like, do you think physically or
Physically.
generally? Like, they care about what they think about them physically. No,
Physically, yeah.
physically, absolutely. Like, date people that they think the masses or their friends is their friend's spec, and don't even date people that might even be
Thank
their
you.
own spec, because they're like, oh my God, they're gonna brag on me, which is so like immature, but
As I was saying,
whatever.
men do a lot of things to impress other men, but they want to get on at women. But anyway, it's another discussion for another day. So, where were we? Miranda basically yells at Carrie that nothing has changed with her and Big, and she's still dropping everything for him. We just discussed this, but I don't know. Did you get the impression that Carrie was always dropping everything for Big, like abandoning her friends for him? I feel like she acted different
Yes.
for him, but I don't think she, I don't
Like I said, I think Miranda's reaction
know.
was
Okay.
cumulative. Because I remember when they were first dating, where she hadn't seen her friends and Charlotte had a whole new boyfriend, and then she didn't know what was happening and she dropped them. So I think this is cumulative. Like, I mean, not everything was shown on the show, but more like, oh, I can't go to the movies, I have to be at Biggs. Oh, I can't do this. And then
Okay.
this happens, and this was just the thing that
Okay.
broke the camel's back
But
for her.
okay, this is me being pressing the issue. But when your friends start dating someone new, and I know Carrie and Big have dated before, but they're like redating, it's kind of normal not to see them as much, at least for a little bit before they settle down. Or,
I mean, that's fine. Just don't break plans. Don't
yeah,
make plans
that's
then.
true.
Because she's mad because they actually made plans and she broke it.
Exactly.
So just because he asked her to make dinner. Like, I mean, you're not gonna die if you don't have dinner with him, then but it goes back to, again, I'm channeling myself in Miranda, where if someone told me that, all I'm gonna hear is, oh my God, you're just so scared that if you say no to him, this might put a dent in your relationship, and you're so scared that you're not even doing what you want to do to hang out with your friend, that you just want to say yes to everything and soak up everything with Big, so you're not even being authentic
Yeah.
to yourself.
Okay, that's
So
fair. So Miranda hangs up on Carrie, and then she like rudely orders a glass of wine from the bartender, and the bartender turns around and it's Steve. And I actually went, "Oh, Steve!" I actually completely forgot that's how they met, but I was happy to see Steve. And
I had
you had the same
reaction.
reaction.
I had to say it. I was like, oh my God, Steve, because Steve is, spoiler alert, my favorite guy on the show in its entirety. Like, every time everyone asks, he's my favorite guy on the show. I just didn't realize we met him this
Yep.
early in season two. For some reason, I thought it was much later. But again, there's just six seasons, so I don't know
I
why I thought
know
that,
this
but
time is
yeah.
warped. There's no sense of time anymore. But anyway, so the bartender Steve basically goes, "Please, like add a please," and she like glares at him and is like, "Are you allowed to talk to me that way?" And in my head, I'm like, "Okay, Miranda, slow down, okay." And he's like, "Yes, he is." And in my head, I like cheered for him a little bit. She's just being very bitchy right now, I think, too. Clearly, everything's been building up from the comedy club and finding out her, this man is married, to Carrie standing her up, and she's just taking it out on everybody. So he brings her the glass of wine, and she says, "Thank you." And he said, "Thank you, Steve." And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, buddy, you're pushing it now. And Miranda basically lets him know that she's not in a mood, and she could see that he thinks she's a complete bitch, and she tries to explain herself that, look, I'm not a bitch, I just had a fight with somebody. And he's basically flirting with her, trying to find out if she has a boyfriend, and he buys her drinks for her. And she's like, why? And he's like, so you stick around and keep him company. Sometimes, you know what, maybe this is an issue with me, but I feel like Miranda complains so much about how these men ain't shit, but then she's never open to receive when people are trying to flirt with her. This isn't the first time, I feel. People have tried to flirt with her or ask her out, and she's, her first reaction is to either treat it with suspicion or be like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? So she doesn't know how to receive love in any way.
I completely agree. I actually made a note to say Miranda is a prime example of not knowing when you're getting in your own way. So you're manifesting your complaints all the time, but you're not taking accountability about what you're doing that are making these come true. Like, yep. Yes, you have facts, but what are you doing to enable and facilitate these things happening to you? Because she was absolutely, completely not receptive.
And he wasn't being like, because I'm not one of those people that thinks just because someone hits on you, you have to receive it. But she's just being so difficult. And he's being like very pleasant, especially considering. But anyway, the scene cuts and home back to Miranda's place. Apparently so amazing that Miranda has two orgasms, guys. So as Steve is getting dressed, he's like, oh, that was really good. And he asks Miranda for her phone number, and she acts exactly as Tane and I have just said, kind of like, why? Why do you want my phone number? She's clearly not interested in anything more. And she bluntly says, look, let's just not go through. Let's not pretend you're going to call and all of that. Let's just call it what it is, a one-night stand. Steve is clearly thrown aback. He looks at her and calls her a real pisser, which I'd never heard that phrase before, but hey. And then gives her a goodbye kiss and says if she wants to see him, she should stop by the bar sometime. And she's like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever. And I was like, oh, Miranda, I'm not saying you have to, like, give this man a chance, but you guys did just sleep together. The least you could do is, like, be polite, but I don't know. I didn't like her attitude.
Yeah. Everybody has different defense mechanisms. Hers is just way too much.
And extra. It's just at the forefront in this episode. So now we go back to Samantha and Ed. They're at his massive house, and the two of them are having dinner with the most hilarious, what do you call it? House manager / maid. So as she unrolls her napkin, she finds a diamond bracelet in there. And then he presents her with the matching necklace and earrings. And then Samantha literally starts clapping like a seal. And the maid looks at her and rolls her eyes in disgust. So we know that Ed, this is not the first time Ed has probably done something like this. So after dinner, they tell us a 6-course dinner. They're drinking and he basically says, look, I only have about 10 or 12 good years left and I'm looking for somebody to have fun with. And he's well aware that someone as beautiful as Samantha can get any man she wants, blah, blah, blah. But he's willing to make it. And I'm thinking, okay, so all these diamonds are adverts for Ed, you know. Come with me, I'll shower you in diamonds. So he tells her he has a pocket full of Viagra. And then grabs her hand and puts it on his dick. And Samantha being Samantha... they get up and go to his room. Okay, so let me ask you a question. They didn't have sex, did they? Okay, good. I thought it was just me, because I was like, I don't think they had sex. But anyway, the way the scene was shot was kind of weird to me. As they, like, kissing, whatever, she basically asked him to turn off all the lights. Because I guess in the dark she can't tell that he's 72. But then he gets up and says he needs to go to the bathroom. And we get a nice big shot of Ed's flabby butt. And that is just enough is enough for Samantha. She gets up and pretends she's not feeling well and runs away. and the maid is waiting for her with her bag and coat. So that bit cracks me up. I just enjoy Samantha Sees just because I feel like Kim Cattrall does comedy so well. And she basically slams the door.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
No, I'm like, yeah, she does it well. But my question is, was that film trick? How did they get his butt to be that droopy?
How do you know it's his butt?
Do you think it was real? Butt double. Did they look at a couple of butts? Or, yeah, did they look at... Oh, my God. It was very...
She's 72.
Unnerving. I understand, but it was like melted Play-Doh. Wow. It was just like literally...
Do you know what? I'm just thinking, I hope nobody describes my butt as melted Play-Doh when I'm hopefully 72. Let's just survive 2020 first, okay? So, Steve, our lovable bartender, drops by Miranda's apartment. And this is where Steve kind of lost me a bit. Like, don't pop up on me, ever. But anyway, he turns up to her apartment and to tell her that he likes her and he'd like to see her again. And Miranda goes, no, you just think I'm an easy lay and you want to have sex with me again. And I was just like, she just made things so hard. She was very hard to be likable this episode. I know we keep saying it, but she was. So he's like, no, he wants to go out for dinner.
She was, but I'm just saying, like, it's easy when we're watching someone, but in general, in our lives, don't you think we're all, like, most of us are jaded that even when a good guy comes, we're suspicious and just waiting for the next shoe to drop? Like, I think she was just representative for a lot of us.
Okay, this may... I don't know if I've fully developed this thought yet, but I genuinely think Miranda was this rude to him because he's a bartender. Because we've seen Miranda put up with worse, like this whole thing. She literally went back and had sex for a second time with a man who basically wanted to use her body while he watched porn. I feel like she was this rude to him because of his socioeconomic status. All the other people, they're either like documentary directors or the architects or whatever. And I genuinely feel like she was ruder to Steve because she feels above him.
I actually think that she was ruder to him because she felt something quickly. And she doesn't want to be Carrie. She doesn't want to be Charlotte. She doesn't think she's one of those people. So when she felt something so quickly and he was checking her, she was like, I'm not going to let this come. I'm not going to be one of those. And let me just check this now because he's going to disappoint me anyways. I might as well just do this. So she went on. She went two levels more than 100 to stop it.
I'd like to know... you guys who are listening, what your thoughts, what's your take on why Miranda's so rude to Steve? So anyway, so he eventually succeeds in agreeing and getting her to agree to have a drink with him, but she says she's having dinner with friends, which is also meeting big at this place called Denial. And Steve is like, oh, I know someone who works there. And Miranda tries to lie about the time, but Steve is smart, clearly, and has Miranda's number. So they agree to meet. So this scene killed me. Carrie arrives at Big's apartment, ostensibly to basically so they can go to have dinner with her friends together. She gets there.
Sorry, looking gorgeous.
Yes.
Looking very gorgeous. Shift dresses
they
look
do,
good.
Don't they? This is what the third one, isn't it? Three out of three.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one is short, so she looked really, really good. And she looks good with her hair.
I agree. She did look very, very good this scene. But Big opens the door, and he's wearing boxers and, like, a half-open shirt. And Carrie's like, are you not ready? And then this motherfucker says, oh, do you mind if I, like, skip out on dinner? Because it looks like it's going to rain, and I'm tired. And I was like, is he really, really going to do this? And Carrie's face is crestfallen. And she's like, my friends are expecting you. And he's like, oh, they'll be fine. And he's like, it's okay, isn't it? And this is where sometimes I want to shake Carrie, because she basically, like, looks sad and is like, okay, and then leaves. But I'm like, tell him it's not okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying fight with him, but tell him it's not okay.
It's not
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree, because she looked
like
crestfallen.
Yeah.
And he said, is it okay? Yeah. And of course she goes, "Oh yeah." And can I note that he says again,
Yes.
"They're your friends." And
And his
see
reasons are
again.
so
Oh
shitty.
God,
Literally, I'm
big.
tired and it looks like it's about to rain. After she's organized a dinner that you agree to with her friends, you know that's going to be embarrassing for her. You don't have to be
Yeah.
emotionally intelligent to figure that out, you know? I don't even know. It just pissed me off.
Yeah.
So anyway, Carrie goes to a restaurant, like upset with herself for thinking that things were big was going to be different the second time around. She gets there, but she can't bring herself to tell the other women that Big isn't going to show up. So they're kind of doing the whole charade of waiting for him because they won't be seated until their entire party's hit there. So while they're waiting, Steve gets some more drinks, and Samantha and Charlotte, like decent people, thank him for his thoughtfulness. And he makes a joke. He says, "If you want good service, send a bartender." And Miranda adds, "And if you want a good fuck, go home with one." And when even your friends are looking at you
Wow.
like, "Bitch, what the fuck?" So Steve is clearly very hurt by that. And Steve, I don't know, I just really like Steve. He asked her if he can speak with her in private, like a man. You know, he's not gonna while out in front of her friends. So he pulls her to the side. And he goes, he has one question: why do you hate guys so much? And Miranda's like, "Excuse me?" And I'm like, "Girl, really? You're acting like this is a shock." And he's like, "Look, we just met, so I'm pretty sure this isn't about me, but like about you in general." And he's trying to get to know her better. And he wants her to know that he's not like a guy that's full of shit. And he liked what happened the other night, and he's trying to get to know her. And then she says, "Maybe I've slept with too many bartenders," and heads back to the table. Yeah, Steve follows her, tells the other ladies it was nice meeting them, and then leaves. And this scene, I don't know. Miranda, she's gonna have to do way better to come back for this for me, because I just thought she was so awful in this whole scene. But
No, I was just saying, oof. Like I was just rethinking your stance where you said because of the bartenders, and then she said you've slept with too many bartenders, so
I
maybe
do
you have a
think there's an
point.
element of classism for real. I can't see her. I know Miranda can be a bit abrasive, and I don't think there's always something wrong with being straightforward and abrasive. It's not always a bad thing, but I feel like she doesn't hesitate to be like that to Steve because he's a bartender. I feel like if he was any other profession, even if she was like bitchy or mad at the world or mad at guys, I don't think it would have come out in the same way. But it's all shoulda, woulda, couldas, right? Who knows for sure? So basically, Carrie finally comes clean and admits that Big isn't coming. And Miranda, just to add insult to injury, she's just really trying to make me hate her. This episode goes, "I knew it. Big's not coming, main as shit." And she says it in such a snotty way. Charlotte is being a good friend and like is trying to be sympathetic, all of that. And Charlotte goes, "There he is." And I think I could feel, I knew it was coming just from the way the episode was set up. And Big like comes in wet from the rain, knight on a horse. I'm still mad at him. This does not excuse him to me. Because what the fuck? Why did you show up? Why did you tell me you weren't coming and then show up? What did you think of this team?
I was rolling my eyes. I was literally rolling my eyes right now as you were saying it again. Because they put it in slow motion, they put music to it, and then you start thinking. Because honestly, these are the things. You know when people say TV and movie ruins people's love life or whatever? This is it. Because you think these big gestures, like be an asshole, but as
Yep.
long as you do a gesture, it's all good. Oh, go home. I'll stay with you at the wedding and get cake. Oh, it's all good. Oh, I'm not gonna come, but I'm gonna show up at the last minute. It's all good. So, and they made it seem like it was supposed to be so romantic. And of course, Carrie beams like a
Yep.
sun and it's like,
And she's
oh.
very happy, gives him a
Ugh.
massive hug. And then Miranda, seeing this, suddenly gets up, excuses herself. She runs after Steve in the rain. Grand gestures this episode all over. And she catches up to him and she apologizes and says maybe she can try to believe. And then they start making out. And then Carrie, the voiceover says, from that night on, women would tell the tale of a one-night stand that turned into a relationship. Okay, so I have another question for you about Miranda, because there's a fleeting thought I had while I was watching it. Just the fact that Miranda chose to run after Steve because Big showed up, that was the catalyst. Do you think Miranda's a misery loves company kind of person?
But no, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about it. Yeah. I know what you mean, but I didn't think about that. I think it just kind of... I think Miranda has her own... I always hate saying trauma, but that's the word we use to describe the insecurities and complexities that you're going, baggage that you're dealing with. And Miranda clearly has issues with men. They've made that clear from jump about all the things, and she's been rejected a lot. So I think it's one of those things... And I think it happens in real life. People react to what they see other people going through. So I think her thinking it's not possible, it's not this, like if Big didn't show up, that validates her experience at that time. So I don't necessarily think it was misery loves company. It was just more like, no, men are shit. Big is a reminder that I should hold my ground and I'm not going to be a chump and I'm just, you know, not going to let Steve pull one over on me and I'm going to fall for it. So Big showing up kind of just melted her heart a little, like, oh,
but that's what
maybe I'm wrong. Like
if Carrie was equally miserable with her because Big didn't show up, she wouldn't have run after Steve.
No, go ahead. I'm saying she wouldn't have. I agree that she wouldn't have, but it's not because I guess what I'm interpreting you saying misery loves company is that both of us are going to be single. Both of us are going to be sad together. And that's the reason why. And I think I'm trying to say it's not because she wants Carrie sad and she wants to her to be miserable, so to speak. I think it's just her issues.
Okay. I do think Miranda clearly has issues, but I'm reluctant to make that a good excuse. I don't think it's a good excuse because she's kind of, everybody else has been affected. She's putting those on her friends, like all episodes. And I don't think that's fair either.
Yeah, I just didn't like... Okay, so my thoughts on this whole thing. I said I don't like that Miranda is the Tyler Perry of the group. Let me explain what I mean. The Tyler Perry of the group, meaning anyone who watches a Tyler Perry movie knows that Tyler Perry movies are an action, a consequence, and a punishment. So it seems like Miranda reacts to everything. If someone get proposed to, Miranda's the one that's going to be like, why me? Why this? I mean, if something happens, Miranda's the one that reacts. So now her actions are not based on what she wants. It's a reaction to other people's. Big shows up, so now she changes her mind. I don't like that they make her the poster child of whatever it is. Remember that whole house thing where she got a house and it's like, oh, let's remind you that no, you're single. You still need a man anyways. I don't like that. The whole kiss in the rain thing was supposed to be romantic, but honestly, it was so corny to me.
I feel bad. Well, I am ragging on Miranda, but I also think she deserves it this episode. But we could say the same for Charlotte. Charlotte's also a why not me kind of woman. But I don't think she makes her friends feel bad for it. She doesn't push it on her friends.
Is Charlotte always a why not me person? I mean, she's singular.
Relationship watching.
She just wants to get married.
Because even when they went... Yeah. You know what I mean? She's always like, oh my gosh, if that person could get married, why am I not married? Why is this person can't get married before me? Blah, 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 blah. But maybe that's also self-centeredness. That she's only worried about herself. It doesn't really care.
But that's the thing. But that's who she is. She's not reacting to... They always make Miranda react to a situation that makes her come up as hateful. So when they get engaged, it's a reaction to why not me. When I get a house and what was it that happened? And they tell me that, when she gets a house and they tell her that this person died alone or whatever, and she was proud of herself, she got a drink for herself, all of a sudden she's reacting to it. So I don't like, that's the part I don't like. But Charlotte doesn't necessarily react to things that way. She's just, that's just her. That's her core.
You know, and I do think Miranda's just looking worse this episode because there's two episodes back to back where she's being a hater. That's all. Because she was a hater in the last episode and is being kind of hateful in this episode. So she's just being given a bad little run. Hopefully they snap out of it a bit. Fingers crossed.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yes.
But I did like the episode.
That's basically the end of the
Episode.
episode. They're all having dinner. And Carrie tells us that was the night we stopped being a myth and started being real. And I was like, girl, if you say so. If you say so, Big is still not in my good books. So it is what it is. But yeah, it was a good episode, like you said. A lot to discuss. If you guys have any thoughts about anything, please let us know. Anything we've discussed this episode or previous episodes. And can you please tell the people where to find us, Tane?
Yeah, we'd always like to hear your thoughts. You can reach us at the Rewatch Times 2, TheRewatchX2. That's our handle on Twitter, handle on Instagram, and also an email at gmail.com. Feel free to tweet at us, comment, or send an
And
email.
please
We'd
give us
love
a
to hear your
five-star
thoughts.
review on Apple Podcasts if you can. We'd really appreciate it. I hope you, I was about to say, I hope. Where did that come from? I hope you all have a wonderful week. And we'll be back next week. Bye.